WWIB, that is the music of Unspoken, and they're coming in concert to Cedarbrook Church in Menominee. You can learn more at WWIB.com under events. Ben Fuller preceding Unspoken there on the radio this morning. Ben in concert in Phillips at the high school tomorrow night, but Unspoken in concert on March 9th at Cedarbrook in Menominee. So, again, learn more, WIB.com. Kind of featuring some of those artists here this morning. I was thinking, hey, let's feature some of the artists who are coming. Get ourselves ready. Get your tickets. Got Ren Collective coming to the Pablo Center March 30th. And I don't know, Jason Cans, when's your concert? You and your son, Alex, when are you guys doing your concert?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't even really been preparing for that. So
I saw you guys in concert at Crestview Academy. Maybe that wasn't a concert, but a talent show.
Yeah, that was a fun thing. We did a song from Greatest Showman, and that was a good time. So
yeah, for sure.
That's what our house looks like a lot of the times. Songs and top hats.
Just a big musical. Well, we've got our hands full this morning. We had to finish up Philippians 3:2-6. You read us the scripture. We read just one of the three paragraphs you've got in your commentary. We'll get back to that. But first, we're having Crab Fest 2023, remembering the late, great Larry Crabb from a book you did, Living in the Larger Story, summing up books. And here's the thing, with Valentine's Day right around the corner, my idea, here's the thing, I get these ideas and then I'm not talking to you about it, but I thought, you know, the book Men and Women actually has some different relationship scenarios. So I forgot to bring my copy, but maybe tomorrow, maybe Monday, we can, we'll take a break from this and, still continue with Larry Crabb, but take on some of those relationship scenarios and point out how we can be the biggest problem in the relationship we're in. Isn't that true?
Yeah, uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the things I appreciate about you is your willingness to call audibles.
Oh, I call a lot of them. Yeah. Because if they're playing a different defense, you need to call a different play.
That's true. Absolutely.
All right. So, but you know what? It's in the spirit of continuing on with a tribute to Larry Crabb. Having said that, today we reached Finding God, didn't we?
Yeah, Finding God, a 1993 book. Again, one of the themes that we see from Larry is this real honest ability to wrestle with suffering and hard things. And I would say this is the first book where he really touched on that in a deep way. And he wrote this book kind of on the heels of the loss of his brother. His brother died in a plane crash.
52 years old.
Yeah, 52 years old. And so wrote this book, Finding God, you know, just really disoriented. Lots of questions about who is God? How do I fit in God's picture? Is God good? You know, and so he really touches on a lot of these questions. Really, again, pulls it back again to the idea of thirst, which he had touched on in the recent books as well, and really pinning down this idea that we do continue to have these deep thirsts, even in the midst of deep suffering. And again, great, great storytelling. You know, he's honest and vulnerable in this book as well.
The one line that stands out to me is that he's like his prayer of God, I know you, but I need to know you better. In light of my brother's death in this tragic plane crash, I need to know you better. And you could just feel that real deep heartache. And he was such a man who hungered to know God. And then secondly, I would just say, as I was such a champion of Inside Out and my wife tried and she struggled to connect with Inside Out on multiple occasions. But this one resonated with her more. Again, we're covering so many books from Larry that people are going to find, you know, different strokes for different folks, probably, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and I think that's one of the things you and I have both found, you know, in terms of, you know, people say, what should I start with Larry? And it's, well, where are you at?
Yeah.
You know? And,
right.
They're great books and for different seasons, and they're all good. So,
for a lot of people dealing with chronic pain or disappointment or hurt in life, I'm like, Shattered Dreams, you know, is one that is going to walk you through the book of Ruth in a way that you probably have never been walked through that 4-chapter book before. Right. All right. Philippians 3. Thank you so much for that. Philippians 3:2 through 6. You read us the scripture yesterday. We did your first of your three devotional commentary paragraphs. Here's the rest of what you say in Letters to the Beloved. Paul's religious pedigree was impeccable. He was born into the right family, and his parents raised him with the right traditions. He had the best teachers, and he was their best student. He knew, that's saying something there. He knew the law forward and backward, and he followed the rules carefully. From the overflow of his knowledge and zeal, he persecuted the early church like no one else. By Pharisaic standards, he was as good as they come, but Paul knew that he was nothing apart from my grace toward him. Comment on that?
Yeah, you know, again, I think it's there. This is a huge shift for Paul, right? I mean, from, you know, having Judaism down perfectly, you know, as far as he was concerned, to all of a sudden God knocking him off his feet and recognizing that it's really all about grace.
Absolutely. And we finish it off with this paragraph. Beloved, legalism still infiltrates my church. Every time you witness someone adding regulations to faith, you see evidence of legalism. When you judge other Christians, you're practicing this evil. Final thought.
Yeah, it's, I would just say I wonder how often we actually see that as evil when we engage in those sorts of judgments as opposed to love. And I think Paul's language in Philippians is stark, and we need to understand that as well, that you know, when we're really creating this strong us versus them mentality, that that goes against the heart of God.
Very good. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Sounds good.
There we go. Jason Kahn's best 5 minutes of the day here, WWIB. Hey, good news. We got ourselves a winner here, WWIB. Congratulations to Steve in Black River Falls. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going? You were caller 3 at 723-2555. You just won yourself a pair of tickets to our sold-out showing and exclusive premiere of Jesus Revolution, February 22nd, 2 weeks from yesterday at Mycon Cinemas in Chippewa Falls. Way to go, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much. I can't wait to see it.
Hey, let me tell you what you're in store for here. You're going to enjoy appetizers from the Mycon VIP Lounge and coffee samples from Whirlybird Coffee Co. And your ticket also doubles as your entry for prize drawings before the show. Do you know what you have a chance to win? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you, Steve. A $500 certificate for tires from courtesy Ford of Stanley. You have a chance to win a brand new glider rocker from Economy Furniture. Looks beautiful. 3 months of unlimited movies from Mycon. You get a chance to win a gift basket from K9 and Feline Dorms. A chance to win an escape room adventure for four. A pair of tickets to OneFest 2023. And a two-night stay-and-play for a family of five at Metropolis Resort, Chaos Water Park, and Action City worth over $800. How does that sound?
That sounds wonderful.
I'll tell you it does, man. I'm a little jealous. All this fun is brought to you thanks to Visiting Angels, Whirlybird Coffee Co., K9 and Feline Dorms, Boarding, Grooming, and Water Park of Altoona, Synergy Retirement Planning and Strategies of Menominee, and the all-new courtesy Ford of Stanley. Keep listening for your chance to win. Except, Steve, you've already won, so congratulations, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
All right. Very good. Congratulations to you there. And, again, all prize drawings are going to begin at 6 o'clock on February 22nd in the Mycon lobby. You must be present to win. Tickets must be picked up at the station as soon as possible so none go to waste. So, Steve, from Black River Falls, do what you have to get here and pick those up here. We appreciate it. Well, I don't know if this is true for us. Hopefully we're not feeling stressed out. We enjoy doing morning radio and we're on the radio, but we've got the answer to when is the most stressful time of the day.
And it turns out it's coming up very, very quickly.
It is. A couple minutes.
Do you think this has anything to do with, especially if you have school-aged children and maybe you're trying to get them out of the house, or maybe you're trying to get to work at a certain time too? But
I do.
If you're not a morning person, you may not be alone. A recent study found the most stressful time of the day is in the morning. And in fact, Havel, it is about a minute now.
I know. Yeah, that's right. 7:23 in the morning is the most stressful time of the day. The average person experiences an average of 3 dramas a day. And I'm just saying, they say with women having their first drama around 7:50 in the morning, men have theirs about 8:43 in the morning.
8:43. So tomorrow, listen to Best of the Week right around that time, fellas. Ladies, we're doing everything we can for you with giveaways and fun in the 7 o'clock hour. But I really think it probably goes along with work and school patterns probably, because I do know in our household, and maybe for me, when we're supposed to be somewhere and it looks like we might not make it on time, that's when the stress level might rise.
Oh, and sure. So. And it's not just weekdays. How about Sunday mornings, right?
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right. I guess you're around for that, right?
Yes. So, yeah. You know what? leave the stress in his hands. Tune in to WWIB. We'll try and calm everybody down as much as we can. But, well, got 10 seconds.
Yeah,
7:23. The stress is coming.
We're counting down. So, again, we'll try to have a song that will relieve that stress for you. But possibly this morning you relate to this.
You can really tell who is a morning person and who is not.
Grumpy Cat, good morning.
Wow, somebody had a big piece of grouchy pie this morning.
We're playing a new game, Halvo and I. It's called Pick the Worst.
Huh.
And basically we're seeing how you align, Halvo, with surveys of Americans about two options and which one they think is a worst case scenario.
Okay, very good.
All right, so I mentioned this one off the air, so let's go ahead and jump right in. From an online survey, pick the worst: a restaurant meal where you find a hair in it, or a restaurant meal that's cold. You're at a restaurant and you find a hair in your meal, or it comes out cold.
Right.
Which would you say? Your opinion.
Yeah, and so I think the preferable one is cold. So the least preferable would be the hair in it.
And you know what? 81% of your fellow Americans would agree with you saying, yeah, I'd rather have it cold. 19% said, no, a hair is not as bad as having it cold. But I would agree as well. 8 in 10 people.
Very good.
How about this? Pick the worst. The person in front of you texting throughout a movie, or the person behind you in the theater crunching popcorn.
Huh.
Which one?
Give
this one was
again.
A lot closer. Okay, so which one is worst in your opinion? The person in front of you texting all throughout a movie, the phone screen lit up texting, or the person behind you in the theater crunching on their popcorn all throughout?
Less preferable is the noise, the crunching. I could deal with the texting.
You can deal. So you could deal with the texting. 59% of people said the worst option is somebody texting throughout the movie.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I suppose it depends on the brightness of their phone screen.
I think the noise, whatever. I guess you get used to people crunching popcorn, so all right.
This one is not real pleasant, but sure. And this was also a very tight one, according to a survey. Pick the worst, Alvo. People who sneeze at the salad bar, or people who pass gas on elevator rides.
Sneeze at the salad bar, not too keen, or the other one.
Yeah, the flatulence.
I think less preferable is the second one.
Yeah, well, 56% of people say the worst one is the person who sneezes at the salad bar, but it was pretty close.
Yeah.
Pretty close. All right, and two more. Pick the worst. Surveys of Americans. Talking to someone who has food stuck in their teeth, or talking to someone who has food stuck in their beard. Probably eliminating the ladies from that second one. What's worse?
I think it's less preferable to talk to somebody, but they're both kind of... These are weird questions.
And it's, do you point it out?
Yeah,
or you just kind of, you know, try not to be distracted by it?
It's pretty equal. I mean, you know, I think the teeth. I'll go with the teeth.
61% of people said the worst option was talking to someone who has food stuck
in their,
their beard.
Their beard.
In their beard. And fine, one more. This one's kind of fun. Pick the worst, Alvo. Garlic breath? Or morning breath.
Uh-huh.
Which is worse, garlic breath or morning breath?
I mean, garlic breath I can handle. Morning breath is worse.
74% of Americans agree with you saying, morning breath is a worse option.
Very good.
So, remember to brush your teeth this morning. That's the takeaway. Dropping some knowledge.
Yes, we want to educate you here a little bit this morning.
Four things that you didn't know yesterday, Havo. First one's yours.
Yeah, the longest lightning bolt flashed 477.2 miles across Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi in April of 2020.
Wow, a three-state-long, almost 500-mile-long lightning bolt?
That is, I never knew it could be that massive. Wow.
It figures it would happen in 2020, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Four things you didn't know yesterday. Number two, the state of Florida is bigger than England.
Hmm.
I mean, I guess if you think about that a little bit more deeply, sure, it makes sense, but hadn't really thought about that before now.
So one of our states, a pretty important one, is bigger than the whole UK, or at least than...
Bigger than England, yeah.
Bigger than England, yeah.
So what does that make Ron DeSantis in comparison to the monarch?
Yeah, there we go. Third thing you didn't know yesterday, to boost sales of the Happy Meal, McDonald's once considered adding to the box a small gift for mom.
Huh.
They went
with the toys for the kids instead.
They should have followed through with that.
Huh. Four things you didn't know yesterday here on the WIB Wake Up Show with Caleb and Halvo. One more. A group of flamingos is called a flamboyance.
Hmm.
A flamboyance of flamingos.
Yeah. So there you go. Four things you didn't. That one really got your attention here earlier.
Really did. And I kind of want a flamboyance of lawn flamingos.
Hmm. All right.
It just, I want to see them out there in the snow, and it'll make me think of summer.
All right. So, Lindsay, there you know. That's what he wants for Valentine's Day. Well, Valentine's Day right around the corner, right?
And this is one of probably the most iconic, maybe the most iconic Valentine's Day treat. I can't say I enjoy these for taste, but for nostalgia, sure.
Sure. And when you're a little kid, the little messages on those sweetheart candies, right?
Well, and again, as you got older and they stayed the same and still said, fax me, it just, nostalgia runs deep and they're delightful.
I think a great way to, like, you can have some fun, like, get a box of those and put a message together on a card for your wife or your sweetheart. So originally they were called Motto Hearts, the candy conversation hearts created way back, in the 19th century, 1866. Who knew?
Way before that fax machine. In 2018, and I remember this, this was a big deal, Sweethearts candy maker Necco declared bankruptcy. And everyone thought, what in the world? Is this the end of the Sweethearts candy that everybody buys but not really as many people eat?
Yeah.
The Spangler Company bought the rights and the candy returned in 2020. And here we are just saying, oh, 2020 was such an awful year. Sweethearts candy returns.
And Spangler makes the Dum Dum lollipops, too.
Yeah, so there you go.
Good news. There's only 3 calories per small heart.
So if you do choose to eat them, you don't have to worry about caloric content. And another little factoid about the candy hearts, the Sweethearts, before World War I, remember this company was created in 1866. Before World War I, they came in shapes other than hearts, like baseballs, horseshoes, and watches.
Huh. Wow.
That's kind of cool.